Good morning. Let's pray before we do anything. Beloved Father, thank you so much for making us a part of this congregation. Thank you so much for including us in the awesome plans that you have as you send your beloved Son and your Holy Spirit to save that which was lost. That was Yeshua's constant focus at all times, and nothing could deter him, and nothing will deter him. He is here to save what is lost, to give life to the dead, to give his righteousness to what is corrupt and sinful, to be the light of the world to those that are in darkness. And I know, Father, that this congregation, as humble and simple and unassuming as it looks on the surface, is included in your awesome last days plans. So I thank you for bringing us and making us a part of it. As Karen said, whatever you want, whatever you say, hineni, here I am. So, Father, we place ourselves in your hands. And ask you to speak to your people. In Yeshua's name, we pray. Amen. I don't even know where to begin. Except to be able to say that the love that I feel for this congregation, I cannot express. Ever since the first day that I came here, and my family with me, you have been so good to us. So warm, so loving, so open, so accepting. I can't tell you how much that means to us, and to be a part of you is a blessing that I can't express. It's been 8 years since I came here. At the time, I did not know why God was moving me here. I had a general vague idea that it had something to do with Israel, it had something to do with the Jewish people, it had something to do with some repenting that I had to do and some eye-opening that he had to do to me. But the best way that I can express what happened 8 years ago when the Lord, I felt really strong that the Lord was moving me here, compelling me to call a man I never had heard of before, because at that time I had just come back from Israel. And when I was in Israel, I saw and heard things that I knew the Lord had in store for me. He needed me to see and hear, because he was trying to tell me something. And when I came back to the United States, I was a mess. I felt like I do right now, like a duck that's been hit with a 2x4. And I'm shocked. But before I get into that, I want you to know that my wife, Mary, who wanted to be here with all her heart, couldn't be here because she's in the hospital. She's recuperating from surgery after a serious case of diverticulitis. They had to do a resection, and her stomach has to get working again, and she has to get her strength back. She's really, really weak. But she's on the mend. I'm very sorry that she can't be here with us today. This has been a horrendous week. It's probably why I feel like a duck that's been hit on the head. it's really been hard to focus. But I'm going to focus on what I believe it's time to share with the congregation. 8 years ago, there was a marriage between Adat and me and the Christ Life Ministry, which is now Ultimate Journey. There was some kind of a blending that God created. It was a supernatural thing from my perspective because Nate, who didn't know me from Adam, in the first 10 minutes of our meeting, rolled out a red carpet to welcome me and the ministry that I represented, and with total trust and total sincerity, he said, "That sounds like something we could use in our congregation. I could use it," he said. And he rolled out that red carpet, and that's supernatural to start with. That doesn't happen. But it happened with Nate. And from that day, I've known that there's been some kind of a divine connection between us. I did, and in the last 8 years, I've kind of been sitting here wondering, why is this? Why are we here? Why did you bring Nate and Dalma and Roger and Kathy and Denny and Lori and put them together as a leadership team? And why did you sustain them through all the thick and thin and the good and bad times that they've been through? Why have they stuck together? Why have they persevered? Why have they been so solid and so focused? So that we could come here week after week and same old, same old? I don't think so. There's got to be more to it than that. And why is this such a simple, nondescript, little conglomeration of nobodies, a motley crew if there ever was one? What is this? Look at our backgrounds, where we all come from. It's wild. It's like a landfill. But I knew there was a purpose. I knew it, and I knew it goes really deep. I just didn't know what it was. So I've been waiting. How long has it been since our congregational bar mitzvah? When was that? What year was that? 2010? Yeah. 2010. Well, see, I was really clueless then. At that time, I was fully employed, full-time, with Christ Life Ministries. And that was my job. And I still didn't know why I was here. But at the end of 2010, do you remember that day we had... It was my privilege to give the message for the bar mitzvah celebration we had. Do you remember that? That was a great day. That was awesome. And I remember, do you remember when I said to you, before I pulled my shofar out, I said, before I blow this shofar and call down God, God and his covenant faithfulness to his people, I have to ask you, congregation, are you ready? Are you ready for this this growth spurt into adulthood? Remember I said that? And you all goes, yes. Yes, we're ready. So I blew the shofar and we initiated. We moved into whatever it was that God had in store for us. And so then after that, that was nice. You know, we went back to same old, same old. But on December 17th, 2010, after a couple years of feeling like I was a fish out of water all of a sudden, in my own, the ministry that the Lord and I started, all of a sudden I felt like I didn't fit there anymore. And I knew he was doing something. It wasn't about the ministry. The ministry's doing great. The people that he brought to run it, they don't need me. And I was feeling like, what am I supposed to do here? These people got it all covered. And all of a sudden, I'm a fifth wheel. And I started to feel guilty just receiving a paycheck because I didn't have any, I couldn't write anything for them. I had nothing anymore to give to it. So that was from August when we had our bar mitzvah until December. But on December 17th, I knew I was getting marching orders for something new, but I didn't know what it was. On that day, the Lord let me know, I am taking you out of here. I'm going to set you aside in a solitary place, and then I will tell you what we're going to do next. And I knew that I was going to have to resign. And at that time, I thought, oh, I'm going to commit financial suicide. I'm going to resign from my paycheck, too. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to start something that's called Follow Me Ministries, but I don't know what it is, and I don't know. I don't have anything to offer because I'm not ready because this isn't my idea. But I knew it was him. So we did it. Effective January 1st, 2011, I was no longer employed. And then it was time to wait. Nate stepped forward and he said, well, I'll help you. I'll do all the paperwork. I'll deal with the government. Whatever you got to do to get this thing ready, I'll help you. He's a bookkeeper. He says, you just focus on what God's going to tell you to do. So I said, okay. And then Patrick, Mac, the wonderful brother of ours, stepped forward. I didn't know this, but he's a website creator and master, a webmaster. And he says, I'll make you a website and I'll run it for you for free. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So I had a website, Follow Me Ministries, follow-ministries.org. And I had something I could write a couple articles for and put it in there. And then there it was, something to start with. And then I knew that I was going to have to start to write some material for this Follow Me Ministry thing. And I knew what, because of the influence and what I've learned from Adat and the world that Adat lives in, that it was going to be Torah based, that it was going to be to show how much God has been revealing His Son Yeshua from the very first word, the very first phrase and sentence of Genesis. Yeshua, 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 the Messiah. He had embedded the gospel in Genesis and Exodus. And the rest of the scriptures were just unpacking and unpacking what was already there. And that was the focus of this new material that I started to write. But I said, Lord, who in Omaha, who in the United States is going to be interested in any of this? This is not going to sell. So, nevertheless, that's all I had to go with. I just kept writing it. I started writing it probably shortly after we got our website, maybe in April or May. I just start to write. I started in Genesis, and I'd been in Genesis for a while before I started writing, but then I started to write what was coming out of what I'd been seeing. And then I'd put a rough draft aside and start the next one, put it aside and start the next one. And I'm still thinking, what is this for? Who is going to be interested in this? I did that until the end of August 2010. At the end of August, August 30th, I received an email from somebody in Kenya, Africa. It was from a pastor. He says, I have this congregation. He said, let me tell you my story. He said, I was saved in 2010. I'm a doctor. I practiced medicine. He said, but in 2010, after growing up in a family that never talked about God and couldn't care less, and after having a childhood that was extremely painful because of wounds that were done to me, my soul, he said, I got saved. He said, and after I got saved, 2 days later, the Lord visited me and he healed my soul. And then I went everywhere in my village, inviting people to come and study the Bible. And from that, a congregation developed. At that time, he said, we have 325 people. And my family donated land to our congregation, but we don't have money to build anything on it, but we have some land, and we have a congregation, and we rent space. And he said, we saw your website. And he said, we have been looking for teaching. We're not affiliated with anything. We just developed. And he said, we know we're young, we know we're immature, we know we need good, solid teaching from the Bible. And we've been praying and asking God for 5 months. And we've been searching locally, and we've been looking on the internet, but we came upon your website, and we read and reread and reread what you put there. And we prayed some more, and God said, I want you to study this. So I am officially requesting that you will accept me in my congregation under the Follow Me teaching. What Follow Me teaching? I didn't have nothing. If only you knew, I'm working out of my house. I don't have any money. And I've been getting all sorts of emails, you know, people all over asking for money. And I thought this could be another one of those. But it was different. This was different. I just felt compelled to trust this man and to help him. So I emailed him back and forth. And I said, all I have that I can offer you is some really, really rough drafts that I haven't even edited. Things that I've been writing. If you're interested in looking at that, I'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. So the first thing I did was send him my testimony. You need to know who you're dealing with. You need to know who I am and where I'm coming from. And if you can handle that, great. And I decided to really give it both barrels in terms of what God had done to me concerning Israel, concerning the Jewish people, concerning the Torah. If you can handle that and you can accept that, fine, you're welcome to what I write. I didn't tell him that, I just wanted to see what he would do. So I sent it to him, both barrels. And by the way, everything that I have sent to him since then, we post on our website so that everybody can have it. Free of charge. Anyway, he took that, and I sent him the gospel of righteousness so that they would know what my understanding of the gospel is. And I said, if they can handle that, I'll just keep giving them more, as much as they can handle. And what he started to do was to translate it into what they call Kiswahili, Swahili, for Kisi. That's the town he lives near, Kisi Swahili. And he began to share it with some local pastors that he knew that had little congregations, to see if they'd be interested in it. And they said, yeah, we'll take that. So little by little, a little network of these congregations started to develop, and they all started to study my rough drafts. And see, I was sending them a section at a time. So they weren't getting any books, they were just getting chapters. But he would take them, after he translated them, he would take them to a printer, and he would have them made into booklets. This is wild. He took a picture of me that somebody else had put on Facebook, and he puts them on the cover of every one of those booklets. I mean, I feel like my picture's in every post office in the world. That is, I can't tell you how creepy that feels. But it was too late. He just did it. So then after a little while, this thing started to spread from hand to hand and mouth to mouth. And then the Lord told him, he started to call me Dad, and Mary is Mum. He says, Dad, he said, I think the Lord's telling me to take this to Nairobi. Nairobi's about 270 miles from where he lives. And it's got 3.5 million people. And so he began to get, at his own expense, print these. And he took them to Nairobi, boxes of them, and went to these huge bazaar-like shopping areas. And wherever anybody would want one, he would give it to them. And so believers that were there working, they said, yeah, we'll take that. And give me some more, and I'll spread it around. And so he started to create a little milk route, like, with these people that would wait for him for the next booklet. Wow. See? And then he says, Dad, the Lord told me to take it to the embassy offices. Lots of countries have embassies in Nairobi. He says, they're from all over the world, so I'm going to take them there. And so he'd take boxes of them to these embassy offices, and they say, what is this? They're looking for political propaganda. See? What is this? Well, this is not political. Okay. So they accept them. The Christians that are working in the offices say, yeah, we'll take them. And then on their own nickel, they fly them back to their countries. And believers at the other end say, yeah, and then they start spreading them. And so it just, since September of 2011, we get this free distribution system. And these things are all over the place. Just to give you an idea about that, I'd like to have, before I go any further, everybody that's in the pilot group that gets together with me on Monday night to help me make sure this is biblical and on track, would you stand up, please? This is the mighty army. The mighty follow me army that is conquering the world. So I have them check everything I write. My question always is this in the Bible? Is this in keeping with the spirit of what's in the Bible? Yes. Okay, then I send it. He gets it. He prints it, translates it, takes it to his distribution points, and so we got this thing going. And so I'd like to have one of our pilot group members come and explain a little bit about that and how far it spread. Brenda Allen. Remember Brenda when she went to Israel with our group from Adat? And Nate said, she got Adotted. Well, so did Sandy, because they went together and they joined the Adat group. And so they're going to share a little bit with you about what's happening.
Susan are distributing just a little piece of paper that I put together. If you want to take some notes, there's enough. If you could share, I didn't know how many to make, so I assumed that, you know, one per family would work. Okay. So yes, I got it dotted, and John says I got harpooned in Israel. So I got back from Israel, and things were not the same. excuse me, my voice is a little froggy today, so bear with me. I got back from Israel, and all of a sudden, it was extremely important to be obedient. All the little things that would come to mind in the past that I'd say, no big deal. This is very important now. We need to start paying attention to what's right. So that's kind of the process I've been going through since I got back from Israel. Well, in June, Sandra invited me to come to the focus group, the pilot group, on Monday night. And I began to read the materials that John had put together. And every single Monday night, I'm speechless. Because I've been a Christian for a long, long time, but this is a new perspective and a new revelation of who God is and what his plan is in the world. So after having been in the group a few weeks, I don't remember how long, but I got really curious to start making a list of the countries because, you know, Kenya and a lot of countries in Africa. So I may start making a list, and so John just asked me to continue keeping the list, and I've done that. So when I knew that I was going to share today, I asked the Lord what he wanted to do. And, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? So I put together this map. Every pin represents a country that has contacted Follow Me Ministries. We've received 188 people have contacted the ministry through the website, representing 91 countries. That's 91 countries out of 196 in the world. Okay, in Africa, we've been contacted by people from 35 countries. There are 55 countries in Africa total. So that is I think it's remarkable. The country of Africa, the continent of Africa is like more than half sold out. And just by way of a couple of other observations that I've made, European countries, 13. And in the United States, we've been contacted by people from 13 different states. There's all kinds of people, college students, pastors, bishops. They come from all religions. Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, Reformed Judaism, Muslim, Mormon, every flavor of Christianity you can think of. University professors, businessmen, there's a housewife, chaplains. I wanted to just highlight a couple of things. One being Kenya is right down here on the shores of Lake Victoria. And Kisii is right on the shore, the northeast shore of Lake Victoria. I found it really interesting. The thing that piqued my curiosity was the first one, I think, was we got a letter from Norway, Svalbard and Jan Mayen Island. So I looked it up. It's right up here. Okay. One of those islands is not inhabited except by 16 soldiers, and the other one has, I think, 60 people that live there. Another interesting one was Cocos and Keeling Island, which is right here. Oh, sorry, it's right over here. This one is Diego Garcia. It's a British Indian Ocean territory. And Guam, French Polynesia. I mean, it's just amazing. These booklets have gone to the ends of the earth. Did you want me to say anything about it? Pastor Philemon contacted John, and then at some point, not too long after that, well, when I started keeping track of the countries, then John passed off his list that he already had. And he had, these green pins represent the first group of countries that John had on his list. Included in that list was a lady by the name of Rayel. She lived in Madagascar, and she is an airline pilot. And Rayel is firmly bought into the Follow Me Ministries and what the Lord is sharing through John in that material. And so now she takes boxes of pamphlets with her wherever she goes, to every airport that she goes. And she flies all over the world. I know that she's been in Canada. She's been, I don't know, she's listed several places where she's been. So the pamphlets are also going out through her. There's another pilot that is also taking these boxes of books. And then John was also contacted by a pastor in Finland, right up here. Tampere, Finland is the name of that city. And Pastor Korpela had a group of 17 Lutheran churches that he, and I'm not quite clear on what his role is, but he was an overseer and a pastor. So he decided to start translating the booklets into Finnish and Swedish. And so they are also being distributed there. So, amazing.
There's, to my knowledge, three pilots that are commercial airline pilots that are doing the same thing Rael does. Wherever they're assigned to fly, they get some more boxes and they take them and pass them out. And the reason why I felt compelled to speak up, you notice I've kept my silence. When God tells you I want to do something, but all he gives you is a name, you don't have anything to say to anybody. There's nothing to say. And I told the elders, you know, that I was going to resign from Christ Life and my paycheck. And I remember Roger says, okay, we'll see. Yeah, that's the way I felt too. We'll see. But God has been so faithful because of dear friends and because I get a little bit of royalty every month from things that I wrote for Christ Life and because of Social Security. Our bills are paid and God has kept us going every month, nice and smooth. And even with Mary's major medical stuff, we're still cooking. Everything's covered. We're always on the brink, but we never go over it for some reason. So that's God.
Yes.
And so I praise his name and give him glory and testify with my whole being that everything he said and promised is true. So I had nothing to say to you as my fellow beloved congregation family members. I didn't know what to say, so I shut up. And I figured anybody that's going to do any talking has to be God. We have to wait until he speaks. And now he's beginning to speak. And so I was compelled to make an appointment with Nate before he left town to go to this conference. And I said, Nate, I said, we got an awkward situation building here. I said, most of the congregation doesn't know what's happening because I haven't told them. I didn't tell them that because of that marriage that took place 8 years ago, Adat and I had a child named Follow Me. See, they don't know that. They don't know their child yet. But it's really getting icky because now we have grandchildren, and three of them want to come to Omaha to visit us and meet the congregation. Well, how's that going to come across when I say, here's your grandchild, and they all, and they don't even know who the parent is. So you see, I have to speak. I'm being forced to speak. At the end of this month, Pastor Korpela from Finland wants to come here to visit, to meet me, to meet the pilot group, to meet the congregation, that God has put him and his people together with. And then sometime in February, Rael, the pilot from Madagascar, wants to come and visit. And in March, Philemon himself wants to come to visit. And I really believe that we need to hear from them what God is doing and what it means to them to be connected to a dot. Huh? So it looks like God took our bar mitzvah seriously. Oh, you're going to grow up now, are you? Okay. Well, here's some grown-up stuff for you to chew on. So I don't know what that means. You know, this is sort of like when the angel announced to Miriam that she was going to conceive and have the son. She kept these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't go blabbing around town, obviously, right? She kept them in her heart and pondered them with the attitude, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. Right? Well, I think it's Adat's time to come before the Lord with that attitude. Whatever you say, Lord, whatever you want, no matter what it costs or what it leads to, you said, follow me, hineni. Here I am. I think that God doesn't need our help, obviously. Not once has he consulted with me and asked me for advice. He hasn't even asked me for any help. See, that is why I feel like a duck that's been hit with the 2x4. I have never in my life ever seen anything like this. See, usually when people start a ministry, they pick a headquarters, a location, a starting point. Say, oh, we're going to start here. And then they do what they do, and there's some kind of an impact right there at the point of origin. And then it begins to, the ripples and the shockwaves begin to go out from the point of origin to the outer limits. But this is different. This crazy thing started in my bedroom at my computer. But the point of impact was in Kenya, Africa, on the other side of the world. And then from there it spread to other parts of the world. And now the shock waves are coming back to the point of origin where nobody knows anything about it. Go figure. So what do you do with that? Is there a handbook for that? You know, I've never been there. I don't know. See, this is not any time to go blabbing. We don't even know what we're into. We don't even know what's going to happen. Something's happening. Some kind of change. God is changing gears right now. Right, Karen? Can you feel it? All over the world, he's changing gears. I think he's getting ready for last day's stuff. I think the relevance of the book of Revelation is on the rise. And I believe, from what I've been seeing in my writings and my prayer and pondering, that the book of Revelation is going to be the fulfillment of the book of Exodus. And the book of Exodus was what the Lord told me when I first started to write Christ Live material to model it on. I said, Lord, how do you want to organize this? What should we use for a model? And he says, why don't you use what I gave you? And I said, again, that would be. And he said, the Exodus. So I modeled the Christ Life material on the Exodus. That's why they call it the ultimate journey now. And at the time, because of where we were, most of that material was focused on all of the poor beat-up people that were hurting, that had unhealed wounds from the past, blah, blah, blah. Dysfunctional, crazy patterns that were messing up their marriages and their lives and their churches, blah, blah, blah. See, that was leaving Egypt stuff. You got to leave Egypt, but how much of it do you smuggle out with you? In your brain and in your soul and in your lifestyle. See, lots of it. Because that's how we work. That's how people, that's how we're made. So most of the material that I first started with was dealing with leaving Egypt effectively and for real. But we had no material for the other end of the journey. How about crossing the Jordan and actually becoming Israel? God's Israel. See, that's not a Jewish thing. Although it is got very strong Jewish flavor to it, because that's who we entrusted it to. But it's not an ethnic thing. It's a personal blood covenant relationship with God thing. A personal covenant relationship with His living Word who was made flesh thing. A special covenant relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, who has come to live in us and reveal the Son of God through us. And to stop us from being God seekers and transforming His people into God bringers. And boy, does that require boot camp. Does that require refitting and re-equipping and reprogramming. And most of the people in the Western world are so Greek, so Hellenistic in their thinking and viewpoints that they think it's all about amassing head knowledge instead of actually going through the meat grinder and getting changed. But this is, if we're talking discipleship, if we're talking dealing with people that the Lord picks out of the crowd and says, follow me, this isn't head knowledge. This is meat grinder. It's going to cost everything to follow Him. It cost Him everything to call us and make it possible. And everything that He had to die for, that He had to be humiliated for, that He had to be abased and reduced to zero for, that was in us, that we inherited. He had to die to it and for it. And then He says, follow me. So I guess that's going to happen to all of us that follow, until we do truly become His image and likeness. Until He truly is the head that's on our spiritual shoulders and not just a figurehead in our theology reference library, but the real head and the real source of life and the real Lord and Master of everything. He has chosen a dot for a unique and, I think, highly strategic job. But before we can do our job, See, if we are to be the bridge, a medium point, a focal point, a meeting place for people that are Jewish, Orthodox, Jesus-rejecting people right now, and people that call themselves Christians that reject the Torah and reject Israel and reject the Jewish people and live behind the wall of partition that Yeshua died to destroy. They're, both groups are really going to have to repent of a whole lot of stuff in order to follow him into the middle where they can become Gentiles, one new man under Messiah's headship, right?
Yeah.
In other words, we all going to get crucified, not just him. It's for all of us. Whoever will follow him must go where he leads. And in the last days, he's going to lead to where nobody that's alive or ever has been alive has ever been. So, business as usual? Forget it. We're going into new territory. And so all we can do is hold it in our heart right now and say, Lord, you begin to speak. Continue. We're listening. We're hearing, we're sticking together. We know that we're not exempt civilians. We are in uniform. We are under your command. We belong to you, we are your bond slaves. And you are our Lord, our master, our owner, and our commander in chief. And we're in a war, big time. So Lord, continue to speak. Continue to deal with our hearts. Do whatever it takes. Give us what we don't have. Take out what is unworthy of you. And whatever it is you have to do to transform us into your image and likeness, Lord. Hineni. Here we are. I would like very much for the guests, when they do start to come, to receive a real, the same kind of warm, loving, open-hearted, adot welcome that you gave me in the beginning. Love me, love my grandchildren. They're your grandchildren too, whether you know it or not. So get ready to roll. That's all I can say right now. Thank you for your kind attention and your love.